Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris and you're watching Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The controversial IPCC bill, or the Independent Police Conduct Commission bill, which deals with complaints about police misconduct, was recently passed in Dewan Rakyat with minimal objection from parliamentarians. This despite civil society and opposition parties continuously raising concern over the lack of enforcement power in IPCC to act against errant police officers. So to shed more light on the matter, we have joining us now Datuk Sri M. Ramachelvam. He is the co-chairperson of the Bar Council Task Force on IPCMC and Police Accountability. Datuk Sri Rama, thank you for joining us on the show. I know the push to set up an independent body to address complaints against the police, it has been a long conversation, a long ongoing struggle. I think it's been more than 15 years now since the Royal Commission of Inquiry on the Police gave their recommendations. I do want to start our conversation tonight by perhaps getting into the history of the efforts for more police oversight. Maybe you can help us understand all the different incarnations this bill has gone through.
Thank you, Melissa. Very good evening. The IPCMC bill was first mooted by the Royal Commission that was set up by the government. In 2005, the Royal Commission proposed an independent external oversight mechanism called the IPCMC, the Independent Police Complaints and Misconduct Commission. This commission was envisaged to be a commission that was to be independent, that was able to carry out the various tasks that would bring about police accountability in Malaysia. Subsequent to, and one of the important things that this commission did was to also put in a draft bill to that report. This was one of the most important recommendations of the Royal Commission. They made about 124 recommendations, and the government then decided to then proceed with the recommendations made. However, the government faced very strong objections. Then they came out with the Enforcement Authorities Integrity Commission in 2009, the EAIC. That is the commission that has been there from 2009 till date, that looks into not only matters of misconduct and other complaints against the police, but also some 21 government enforcement agencies. They include the Royal Malaysian Police Force, which has about 112,000 plus officers, 3 million members of RELA, the Immigration Department, the JPJ, and so on and so forth. This department carries out its duties by investigating complaints. After complaints are investigated, they make the requisite recommendations to the departments to carry out to carry out their disciplinary duties, so to speak. This commission, if one looks at it, some 80% almost of the complaints pertain to the Royal Malaysian Police Force. So what happens is that this commission investigates, then makes the recommendation. The Royal Malaysian Police Force then again proceeds to investigate further. From what we understand, many of the recommendations made on disciplinary issues pertaining to members of the police force, those recommendations are not carried out.
Okay, so Rama, what I'm understanding is that they just recommend and then the police have to enforce or discipline themselves, the police themselves. How? What was it that you would want to see in the IPCC that would address this lack of enforcement?
You see, what is the most important thing that is required in the IPCC is to have a truly independent investigating arm. Just to go back a little bit, in 2019, a bill was proposed to Parliament, the IPCMC 2019 bill. It was a bill that had most of the features. There were some shortcomings. Then had amendments proposed in October. The bill was tabled in July. In October, post that proposal for amendments, a parliamentary select committee was formed, which came up with further recommendations and amendments. Then everything stalled, and then we have the 2020 bill. The bill has been, or rather the commission has been renamed as the Independent Police Conduct Commission. That is okay. I think renaming of the bill is not an issue. In fact, the Parliamentary Select Committee also recommended that the bill be renamed because I think there were some issues about the nomenclature.
Misconduct.
Yeah, misconduct and complaints and so on and so forth. So they wanted it to be known as the Independent Police Conduct Commission. However, the problem that arises is this. Important elements of that bill, the 2005 bill and the 2019 bill, has been removed. The most important matter that has been removed is the disciplinary powers that is vested, or that was vested with the commission as envisaged in 2005 and subsequently in the 2019 bill. Both these bills provided for the IPCMC or the IPCC to investigate and further to then post the investigation to impose the necessary sanctions, from a warning to reduction in rank to to stopping a pay rise and so on, until the ultimate sentence of dismissal. However, the IPCC bill has removed the entire disciplinary aspect of the bill. So now we have a bill with powers no better than the EAIC.
Okay, so a lot of acronyms there, but I think what you're saying is this current iteration of the bill is really quite toothless. What's the way to go forward now? Can this bill still be improved? And is there even appetite for that?
I think it is imperative that the powers that were given to the proposed commission under the 2005 bill be reinstated. Or at the very least, the powers that were provided for in the 2019 bill be reinstated. At a minimum, and the irony of it all is this, the powers that they have in EAIC is absent from this IPCC bill. Powers of summoning witnesses, powers of search without warrant and so on and so forth, powers of interception of communication and so on, which the EAIC has, is not provided for.
So why is the current IPCC weaker than the EAIC?
That is the issue. And that is where civil society, the bar, and everyone else is objecting. You cannot have a new bill which is much, much, much weaker than EAIC. And the EAIC itself is seen as a watered-down version of the proposed IPCMC.
Right. It was shocking to me that you said about 80% of the complaints that go to the Enforcement Agency Integrity Commission are about the police. And it's got me thinking about what needs to happen, especially when we have had so many custodial deaths this year alone. I think it was 19 reported deaths in the first 11 weeks of the year. Can you explain how this weaker IPCC bill will be detrimental to the transparency and investigation and justice for custodial deaths?
There are several issues that arises in policing in Malaysia. We have, of course, as you have rightly pointed out, the issue of custodial deaths. The 19 is a record number. On an average year, we have something like 10 or 15 deaths in a year. The average is all slightly less. It's three deaths, one custodial death every 3 weeks, the previous records. This present record is much higher. You've got something like 19 in the first 6 or 7 months. Much, much higher than what statistics we've had for the last 10 years. And there are other issues. Also, you have, police brutality. You have sexual crime being committed in police lockups and so on and so forth. So these are issues that has been provided for in the IPCC bill, the IPCMC bill as well, 2019, where they provided that the commission will have the power to investigate all this. However, what is lacking is the law says the commission will have the power to investigate custodial debts. We have said that it should not only be matters that are that arise from custodial debts, but also matters that arise from police operations, police shootings and the like, so those should be included as well. That's one of our requests. So the point that, coming back to the issue that you raised, they have given the powers to the commission. However, they have stated the commission will investigate. But the commission is not vested with the necessary investigative powers as provided in the Criminal Procedure Code. So those powers in the Criminal Procedure Code should be given to the commission, first and foremost. Only then they can carry out an effective investigation. The second point that I would like to make, over and above the powers, they must have a set protocol of how it should be investigated. That is within the first few hours of upon the crime being detected, the commission must be informed. The crime scene must be preserved. The commission must be allowed to send in their investigators. You cannot, as you rightly said, who will police the police themselves? Many a times, there tends to be, to put it mildly, investigation that is not thorough if it involves police personnel.
Yeah. Rama, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, highlighting these very, very important issues. Dato' Sri M. Ramachelvam, co-chairperson of the Bar Council Task Force on IPCMC and Police Accountability. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this. We will be back with more. Stay tuned. Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Thanks for staying with the show. Let's continue our conversation about the Independent Police Conduct Commission Bill, which was recently passed in Dewan Rakyat. Now, this comes amid widespread concern over the IPCC's lack of investigative and disciplinary powers. So what is the push that needs to happen now for there to be more accountability from the police? Joining us now, we have Brian Chia. He's a research associate with the Centre to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, also known as C4. Brian, so civil society, and we have some opposition politicians raising concern over this. In fact, they've been raising concern about lack of enforcement power of IPCC for the longest time now. And that was, so it was quite surprising to me, particularly, to see this bill passed. Do you think that, why do you think this bill passed, Brian, despite all of its weaknesses? I mean, is it better to have a weak IPCC than no IPCC?
I think that's a difficult question to answer, Melissa, because we can only assume what politicians are thinking, right? But I think to answer the latter part of your question, it is definitely better to have an independent police an oversight body that is strong from the very get-go. Because something that we noted in our latest statement as well is that having a weak IPCC from the get-go with the hopes that it might institute reform or bring about reform is it's not going to be quite realistic or feasible, because it will constantly be just used as a sort of smokescreen to deflect criticism. Oh, we already have an IPCC. Why are you demanding so much more? So here at C4 Centre, we're definitely demanding for the bill to be reviewed and for the Dewan Negara to pull it back to the Attorney General's chambers for it to be strengthened.
Okay. Well, there was also, you know, I guess part of the comments made, or the minister's comments made at the tabling of this bill, was that this would increase the integrity of the police commission, the police force. And I do want to ask you, because part of the push to have a royal commission on the police, I think 17 years ago now, was to initially address the public perception that there was widespread corruption within the force, there was a lack of efficiency in the way the police was dealing with rising crime rates at that time. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on where you see Malaysians' trust and the perception of PDRM now. How far does this bill, the IPCC bill, go in restoring whatever public trust has been lost?
Honestly, from the perspective of anybody who's familiar with the bill, as well as the previous iteration of it, the IPCMC, as it stands, the IPCC bill does not inspire any confidence in the average Malaysian, I would say, because it simply lacks independence, right? There are so many issues that we can point out that that reflect this lack of independence. The IPCC still reports to the Home Ministry, similarly to the police. The Minister of Home Affairs appoints the Secretary of the Commission instead of the Commission deciding on the candidate themselves. Collectively, former members of the police and retired civil service workers are allowed to join the IPCC. So with so much overlap between the IPCC and the police, it does not inspire confidence in civil society and not in the public as a whole, in how impartial they can be, how well they can conduct their investigations without too much bias leaning in favor of the police. So I would say it's a flawed bill, to be honest, Melissa.
Right. So this lack of independence is a key concern. There's also lack of disciplinary powers. So the most that the commission can do is just give recommendations, and then you have the police disciplining themselves. That is also a key concern that C4 has raised.
That's right. As it stands, the IPCC has no power to take any action of its own. They can do all the investigations that they want, but they can't refer their findings to Parliament or the Attorney General's chambers. It is simply referred back to the Police Force Commission, which is not independent of the police, by the way, which means that really the only disciplinary actions that can take place are the ones that would usually take place within a police setting. There is no prosecution. The worst that could happen is quite possibly just termination of employment. So there is no real, there's very little substantive action taken against those who are found liable of committing offences. And even if you want to talk about the investigatory powers of this proposed IPCC, this isn't separate from issues of independence either, because the bill places the power to impose any penalty, if at all, to the Police Force Commission. So the police basically investigate themselves and decide on possible penalties.
In your work, Brian, research and maybe advocacy and speaking to people, is there resistance? Do you find resistance in wanting to reform the police force, in wanting to create more oversight? And I understand that this may not be a problem that's particular to Malaysia. I'm sure every country has issues trying to implement more oversight with their police, their police enforcement. But for Malaysia, what do you think the dynamics are at play here when you, in your line of work, deal or think about police reform?
I think with regards to where I'm coming from, which is definitely more of a civil society background. Within the civil society background, of course, there's quite a large thrust to reform for the police, and within the people who are supportive of our work, they feel the same way. Within the general public, I would say there is a certain acceptance that law enforcement has a level of corruption that operates within it, right? And this isn't a claim that's pulled out of nowhere. Former IGP, Inspector General of the Police, Abdulhamid Badr, has himself said there exists a very deep-seated culture of corruption within the police. But I think, Melissa, if your question refers to how the general public feel about it, there is an acceptance that this is just the way it is. Mm-hmm. But of course, in line of advocacy, in my line of work, we think that there should be reforms anyway, even if people have accepted that, you know, this may be something of just the reality that we live in. And this is not to say also that there aren't other people on the ground who have been adversely affected, you know, in their day-to-day life because of the corruption within law enforcement. I'm sure they would love to see reforms happening as well.
Definitely. Okay, so C4 is urging senators in Dewan Negara to reject this bill. Now that it's passed from Dewan Rakyat going to Dewan Negara, C4 says stop it in its tracks and send this bill back to the Attorney General's chambers for review. What is it that you're hoping will be changed? Because you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, a strong commission from the get-go, a strong bill is needed from the get-go. What is it that you were hoping will be included or changed in this bill?
Oh, so many things, countless issues. You know, right off the bat, we want to see more independence. As of now, like I said earlier, the IPCC would report directly to the Home Ministry, which the police also report to. So there's no independence right off the bat. Optimally, an independent commission would report to Parliament, of course. And of course, even with regards to the investigatory powers, right now the IPCC is incredibly unable to take a lot of action. So such as the fact that witnesses under investigation by the IPCC are allowed to simply outright reject questions and not answer questions that would implicate members of their police force or members of the public service from facing penalty. Then what is the point of the investigation? It also empowers heads of department within civil service and the police to intervene with investigations and allows these superiors to classify information as sensitive, which therefore excludes it from the investigation. It gives a lot of powers to these head of departments to virtually end investigation because they do not want to provide information to the investigation. So these elements need to be taken out, of course. And of course, the IPCC bill needs to have enforcement power. It needs to have power to decide on penalties after investigations have taken place, not just refer it back to the police, because how can we trust them to be impartial? How can we trust them to be completely transparent with their findings as well? An independent body would assure this, or at least lead to the greater assurance of that.
Right. And are you hopeful, Brian, that we will see the political will at the Dewan Negara level to stop this bill in its tracks?
Well, I mean, we have to be hopeful here at civil society. We have to be hopeful. This is why it is so important for civil society and members of the public in general to raise these issues repeatedly and not just accept the reality of the corrupt culture that we live in, right? So if we want to see these reforms, we have to push for them. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're trying to do right now.
All right, Brian, thank you for your good work. And thanks for joining us on the show today, Brian Chair from C4. And that wraps up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night. We'll be right back.